time for explorers or encounters, ambassadors, the youth, Sunday youth. Guys can head on out if you want to do that. That's great. Just a quick one. I forgot to mention that there's no blokes tomorrow night. It will be on the following Monday, so next Monday, but no blokes on this Monday night. Also, we had a survey before the month of prayer started. We had some people, probably about nearly 30, 40 people, fill that out. Thank you for your feedback. It was great to get that feedback. We're working through that. And we're going to be sending out another one at the end of month of prayer, which will look entirely different. I'd encourage you to be engaged in that process. The other thing is, I normally don't do this because, you know, we all have tough weeks and it's not just the poor old pastor. And, you know, sometimes pastors can make out like their jobs are so hard. We got it pretty easy, really. But I didn't go to bed until 5 a.m. my wife was in hospital. I had to take her to hospital. She wasn't feeling well. Don't worry about her. I was the one that had to stay up or not. She had medication. And so I've been up all night. I went to bed at 5, set my alarm for 7. You know when you set your alarm and you set it and you're awake again, it's gone off? That's what it felt like, and then I drove up the hill. So if I fall asleep through my own sermon, that's the reason. It's not the first time someone would have fallen asleep in my sermon. But anyway, that's the reason. So don't feel sorry for me. Actually feel sorry for me. Let me pray because I'm starting to waffle. Father, we thank you again that we get together. Lord, most gracious Father, we pray that as we come to your word this morning, your spirit would open our minds and hearts in what you want to teach us. Bring clarity, a thought for me as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. I don't know if you've heard of a missionary, Dr. Helen Rozier. I don't know if that's how you pronounce her name. She spent 30 years, this is her there, 30 years, she's a doctor, 30 years in East Africa, the Congo. I don't know why it's called East Africa, because it's kind of in the middle. But anyway, the Congo, she spent 30 years there being a doctor and missionary, mainly working with women and labor and child stuff, all that kind of stuff. She was affectionately known as Mother Luca. Incredible story. If you ever get to read about it, she's got some videos. It's an incredible story of someone who is obedient, faithful, and incredibly prayerful. I just want to watch this great little video. There's some little interaction here in regards to prayer. So turn to the screens and watch this little video. Thank you.
bandages, soap, and as I put my hand down the parcel, I pulled out the brand new rubber pole. I cried. I hadn't asked God for anybody who needed to do it. Ruth was in the front line of children. She went forward, said, if God said the whole world for me, he must have said the dummy. And she went and started both hands in the front of the parcel, she pulled out the dummy. She looked up at me, like my mum, she said, can I go with you? Give that to this little girl and know that Jesus really loves her.
It's a great little story of God answering prayer. Seems quite insignificant in the sense of this little prayer about a hot water bowl and a dolly, yet God, this childlike faith to ask that question. I found it interesting that Mama Lucas didn't say amen. I didn't say amen because I just didn't believe it could happen, but it actually did. I don't know if you've experienced that. You may have heard stories like that. When we look through the Word of God again, these are the words of Jesus, and Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks and receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Again, these are Jesus' words. He says, whatever you ask in my name, whether it's a hot water bottle or a dolly, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. We know these scriptures, we know these verses, we know again that the Word of God talks about that we are to bring our requests and with believing prayers, believing that God can do it. Maybe not understanding if he does or he doesn't, but we believe that God can do things even when we can't. And again, through this series, we've been looking at this aspect that the Word of God is full of this request and command to pray. But again, if we're honest, a lot of us struggle with prayer. Last week, I had brought up a little screwdriver, the only tool I own. And I told the story of how I had to take a whole double-decker bed or bunk bed down using this one little screwdriver. It was torture. And sometimes prayer feels like that. It feels like that little screwdriver, that we got this little thing that's not very effective and we don't know really how to use it. We don't have the correct tools, but prayer is like that for us. And then we hear stories like that one there of Mama Luca, and we read Bible passages, the necessity, the command, the instruction to bring our requests to prayer. And over this last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been looking at this fact that our definition of prayer, our understanding of prayer, and our experience of prayer needs to be broadened. That for a lot of us, our prayer has just become this tiny little thing that we may say something to God and just kind of get on with our lives. And we've been working through this model here that prayer is, yes, one, talking or communication to God, which requires words, that we bring our requests, we pray to God. And we saw that last week, that the Bible is full of passages saying we are to bring our requests to God. There's nothing wrong with that. But we also see that prayer is that God will communicate back. It's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. And beyond that, prayer is much broader in that it's communion with God. It requires our heart, mind, soul, and body. Everything that we can, if we broaden our understand and then step into that experience of prayer, maybe it won't feel like that tiny little screwdriver. So prayer is, this is the next slide here, prayer is a spiritual communion with God. Spiritual communion with God. Now that word communion, when we think of communion, we think of taking the Lord's Supper, and it is like that. It's this aspect of relationship, it's this aspect of unity, aspect of closeness. And so when we're praying, that's what we're asking, that's what we want to experience, that it's not just bringing, God, here's what I need, here, that's it, I'll leave. No, there's relationships, there's connection, there's unity, there's closeness. And we've been working through the 4 stages of prayer. Can anyone tell me the first stage? Praying at God. Very good. Excellent. I was getting worried there. Praying at God, where God is really small. We tell God what to do. We don't really believe that God can do it. In fact, we may just be ticking boxes for the sake of ticking boxes. We don't want to be in that stage. But we can come in and out of these stages. I'm in that stage lots. but we don't want to stay in this stage. We want to move beyond that. Last week we looked at praying to God. This is a normal and proper stage. We could change that word praying to talking to God, that we bring our requests. We believe God is real. We believe that God hears our prayers. We believe God can answer our prayers. So this involves faith. This involves faith, just like that little girl, that simple prayer, talking to God. God, we need a water bottle. God, we need a doll. So that's praying to God, and that is a good and proper and right stage when it comes to prayer. But for most of us, and again, I don't want to speak on everyone's behalf. Some people, prayer, they're great at it. We stop here. We don't move beyond this stage. And again, let me just clarify, there's nothing wrong with this stage, but we want to broaden our understanding of prayer because it's more than that. It's more than that. If we get stuck at this stage, it could feel like a little bit of a screwdriver. You see, the next stage is what we call listening to God, where God speaks to us, that we have a broader understanding that actually it's a conversation with God. It's praying to God, but it's also listening to God, and the final stage is being with God, that there's this broader communion with God, closeness, relationship, and unity. And so this morning we look at the third stage, listening to God. And sometimes when we get to this stage, what does that mean? How do we listen to God? Do we just turn on the radio? He's got his own station. It would be easier, or maybe it wouldn't be. Sometimes I reflect on this and think, oh, if God would just tell me, if he just spoke to me, actually, I think that may scare the living daylights out of me. If he actually clearly, at least this way, I can kind of, I'm not sure what God's saying, but if he was to actually say it, I wonder how we would react. I wonder how we would respond. So this morning we are looking at listening to God. Look at this passage here, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. You probably know this story really, really well. It's the Mary and Martha encounter. Verse 38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She shows hospitality. Jesus and his disciples, they're probably hungry. They've been out ministering, walking. She says, come on in, let me look after you, let me feed you. Verse 39, it says, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So she's off doing what any good person would do, I suppose, get food ready and make sure she's being hospitable to the people that have come into her house. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, if you're a parent, you would have heard this numerous times. They wouldn't have called you Lord unless you're a strong parent figure. They come in and say, Mum, Dad, tell your sister to help in the kitchen. And it's a little bit like that. She comes to Jesus and says, what's she doing? She's watching Foxtel. I'm out here working. Tell her to come and help me, Jesus. Seems like a reasonable request, doesn't it? I sometimes feel a little bit sorry for Martha in this story. But look at Jesus' response. There's a rebuke, a gentle rebuke, but it's definitely a rebuke. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You were worried and upset about many things. Now, Jesus knows Martha, so he knows that something's going on in him. We don't get that insight, but she's obviously worried and thinking about lots of different things and what's happening. Martha, Martha, you were worried about and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. Wow, imagine hearing that. Are you serious? I'm off doing all the work. Mary has chosen what is better? You feed yourself, Jesus. That's probably what my response would have been. And he would have just, and there it was, KFC. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, we're not going to get into the doing and the being and that part of the text there. And it's a good conversation. You know, was what Martha was doing the wrong thing? And again, like I've got a soft spot for Martha, but I think the issue, just quickly, is probably more what's going on in Martha's heart, the fact that she would come and ask. But the thing I want to focus on is if you look there, we see what Mary is doing. And sometimes we read this story and we just think that Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and that's it. But actually, she is doing something. What is she doing? Listening to what he said. So she's engaged, busily listening to what Jesus is saying. It's not like she's just lying there. Martha, can you get me a drink? Ice, please. She's not doing that. She's listening. Focus. What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus talking about? That we sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he has to say. For a lot of us, and if I'm honest, I'm more like Martha. I'm a doer. I'm going to get out and do things. And they're good things because they're for Jesus. And maybe we need to stop and be more like Mary. And that's not doing nothing. That's actively and intentionally listening to Jesus. And this is what it means in this concept of prayer, to listen to God. So listening to God, again, it's a conversation. That prayer is not a monologue where it's just you talking. That is part of it. But it's a dialogue that requires listening. That requires listening. Here's a lengthy quote by Mark. I can't pronounce his last name. He's the guy that's written this book, Armchair Mystics. He's a Jesuit priest. He's into contemplative prayer. And this is what he says. He said, the third stage in the evolution of prayer is listening to God. A child who has advanced from parroting words like mama and dada to forming her own sentences has taken a great step, but she is still a child. I love this last line. The mark of a mature person is the ability to really listen. I think you can apply that in general life. That there are adults who just talk. And actually the mark of maturity or even adulthood is the ability to listen as well. So he's saying this in the prayer context, but the mark of a mature person is the ability to really listen. He goes on and says, the Lord will never tire, that should say, tire of hearing my voice. God is always ready to be my captive audience. On the other hand, he wants to share in my struggles and console men in these different times. He wants to challenge me to repent and to live the gospel more authentically. He wants to guide me through the decisions I make and to encourage me to live by those choices. He wants to celebrate my inner victories and to teach me how to have more. Mostly, he just wants to say, I love you. And so, yes, we can talk. And Jesus, God's not going to say, no, don't stop talking. But he wants to. He wants to respond as well. So what stops us from hearing the voice of God or hearing from God? Now, there's probably lots of things, but I have two main things, I think. And the first thing that stops us from hearing God is noise, basically noise. And when I say noise, it's actual physical noise. We live in a world that is so loud, just noise everywhere. You know, we've always got our radios on, the TVs are on. There's lots of noise. And maybe you hill people, maybe not as much because you live up in the hills and it's nice, but then you've got those birds and stuff like that. They're just making noise, you know? But there's noise everywhere, isn't there? And so there's the physical actual sound, but then there's the noise of busyness in our own life. Got to get to that. The noise in our own head. Oh, what about this? Almost a little bit like Martha. She probably had noise because she's thinking about all these different things. And so that stops us from hearing from God. So much noise in our lives, we have to stop, sit, and be still. Like this passage here, be still and know that I'm God. And that be still isn't just to stop physically moving, it is, but it means to be still in all of our body. Physically, mentally, emotionally, stop, be still. That takes time sometimes, doesn't it? I don't know if you've ever, when you go on holidays, I've always found if you have 2 weeks holidays, I spend the first week being sick almost, get a cold or something, because it takes you a week to stop. You stop and there's still all this going, and then the second week you can kind of start relaxing. That's because they're full of noise. Maybe God is already talking to us. He's like, but it's just too loud. It's too loud and we don't hear from him. Or we don't hear him because there's so much noise in our life. A few years ago, my lovely wife bought me some noise-canceling headphones. These U-Butte Sony ones, they make my head look... I can't walk through the door, but They I don't know if you've got a pair. They cancel out the noise. It's so good. Kids are fighting. I just put them on and sit in the corner and rock. And no, don't do that. But when you go on an aeroplane, you turn those babies on, and it literally just shuts the noise out. And you can almost hear yourself thinking. It's like there's not much going on. But they're beautiful. I sometimes wonder if we could do that, be able to turn everything off with those noise cancelling headphones. There's a great little story. Here's a picture of an ice house back in the day. Obviously, there was no electricity, and people used ice houses to look after their food or keep their food from rotting. Thick walls, no windows, tightly fitted door. In winter, streams and lakes were frozen. I don't know what they did in Australia. Did they have these in Australia? Up here in Parkerville? Still got them? No? Because it's quite hot out here, so I'd imagine they would probably melt. Large ice blocks, and they would actually last through the summer as well, because they would make them really tight and like an esky. There's a story of a man who lost his watch, an expensive watch, in one of these ice houses. So everyone's running around looking for this watch. Couldn't find it. Eventually, there's lunch break. Everyone left, and this young fella, the apprentice, sat in there, okay, and he found the watch. All the blokes came back from smoking. Like, how did you find the watch? He said, well, when all you guys left, I just sat in here, and I just sat still, and it was dead quiet. And what could he hear? He found the watch. I don't know if you've noticed, even at night sometimes, when if you go to a house to sleep at or a hotel and they've got one of those clocks, gee, this tiny, you can't hear it during the day, can you? But when it's dead quiet, you can hear it. My mum, she had a valve replacement in her heart. And one of the things she noticed, obviously not during the day, was at night when it was completely quiet, she could hear the valve going making that noise to let the blood in. She mentioned it to the doctor. The doctor said, if it stops making that noise, then come and see me. If it's making that noise, then you're okay. But the noise, being able to shut the noise out and then hear. Again, often the question is not whether God is speaking, but whether we're still enough and quiet enough to hear. Busy lives, noisy lives. One of the things I've found, and I don't do it anymore because you can tell by my body shape, but I used to run a fair bit, and I would run long distances. And what I found is, and if you're a runner, you know this, generally the first 10, 15 minutes are brutal. You can't be bothered and you're out running, but then you get in this kind of rhythm and cadence, and you don't even realize you're running almost. And I found for me, that section, then the last bit, you're just like, ugh, I want to vomit. But that middle bit, your mind, all the things that you've been thinking about just kind of go. For you, you might get it when you go for a long walk or for whatever you like. Maybe it's a hobby that you do. The first 10 minutes, you're kind of emptying your mind of all the worries, and then you get. But for me, I found when I was running, all the problems, God would almost start placing, okay, this is what you need to do, Anthony, speak to this person. I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of that? Or this would be a great illustration for that. So I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. It wasn't until I kind of brought stillness and quietness that I could actually hear it. So noise. The second thing that stops us from hearing God, let's have a look at this passage here in John 10, and we'll see what the second thing is. This is John 10. You may know this passage, really well-known passage. Jesus talking about how he's the gate and the good shepherd. And he says, here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. He goes on and he talks a little about how there's two pens and the sheep from one pen and the other pen are going to kind of join he's going to die for his sheep. And then in verse 27 he says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. And actually in the time when Jesus was talking, the shepherds, it wasn't like Australian shepherds with, you know, sheep, dogs and motorbikes and helicopters and thousands of sheep, and they're shepherding the flock from behind, don't they? They push the sheep to go in certain directions. When Jesus was talking, the shepherd would be out the front, and he knew his sheep. Come on, Fluffy, and come on, Snowy, and come on, Roast. No, but he knew his sheep, didn't he? The shepherd knew the sheep, and they would follow. They would know the voice of the shepherd. And this is what Jesus is saying. Unfortunately, we're referred to as sheep, okay, not overly bright animals. But we need to hear the voice of the shepherd and follow the shepherd. That's what Jesus is saying. So he's saying he communicates. And if you look here, it says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. There's a little hint there to how we hear God. And the hint is this. So the second thing that may stop us is time spent or relationship. It says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. If we know God, we will hear his voice. We know God. We need to spend time with God, don't we? We need to spend time knowing and learning and experience. And the more we do that, the more we know and recognize his voice. Let's say there's a guy named Robert and a guy named Jack. And Robert says to Jack, hey, how you going, mate? These guys are really good friends, okay? Close, known each other for years. And Robert says to Jack, how you going, Jack? And Jack says, oh, it's been tough lately, but I'm okay. Now, from that response, it's been tough lately, but I'm okay. We don't know how Jack's really doing, do we? We know it's been tough, but he says it's okay. Robert knows, actually, Jack, you're not doing okay. I know because you've told me all these things that are happening and you're saying you're okay, but you're not. And the reason why Robert knows that is because of what? Relationship, connection, friends. They spend time together. It's the same with God. Move the noise, spend time with God. We can hear his voice. He knows us and we get to know him. We get to understand and grow in him. Here's another quote by Mark. He says, I will never be able to hear God's voice in nature. So there's a chapter how he can hear God, not hear God like the trees are talking, but when he goes out in nature and spends time amongst creation, he kind of feels God speaking to him. Maybe you've experienced that. I'll never be able to hear God's voice in nature, in other people, or in the words of the gospel if I do not know God. It's very simple, really. And I will rarely come to know God unless I am willing to put in the time, patience, and practice necessary for this or any relationship to thrive. It's so true, isn't it? What's true with the relationship with God is true of our relationship with others. Our spouse, our friends, our family members. If we don't spend time, we're not really going to know who they are. And we'll see this next week with the next stage of being with God, this concept of being spending time with God. Dallas Willard, you may know him. He writes some excellent stuff on this contemplative spirituality as well. He says, a life lived in God's presence defines the purpose of our existence. Isn't that interesting? It's not where it's coming to church or giving in the offering. They're all important things and we're instructed to do those things. But he says, it's life lived in God's presence defines the purpose of our existence. This union with God consists chiefly in a conversational relationship with God. Now, I was speaking with a lady from the church last week, and when I was talking about praying to God, and she said she was listening, and but she said, you know what, when you said that, I like to use the word praying with God, and that's really good, because this is what it is. We're praying with God, because we're in a conversation. We talk, we listen, God talks. We talk, we listen, we talk, we listen. Now, they're the things that bring noise or make it hard for us to hear God. So how do we hear from God? How do we know what God is saying? That's the harder bit. It comes through removing the noise, that's the starting point, and then spending time with God. So let's have a look at some of the ways that God speaks to us. Firstly, God speaks, speaking through the scriptures, meditating on the word. I will say straight out, the primary way God speaks to us is through his word. This is the primary way. I get it so often, and even myself, God, speak to me. God, speak to me, and this thing's got a pile of dust on it. God, just speak to me. That's the primary way. And actually, when we look through the scriptures, we sometimes can fall into the trap of, oh, look how God spoke to these people, and we just think that it's happening all the time. But actually, there's some space there. You know, between... this illustration better be worth it. Oh, there it is. So the end of the Old Testament, this one page here is 400 plus years. So we go from the Old Testament and then God's quiet. He doesn't say anything for 400 years. Now, he may have said stuff to individual that isn't recorded. And then we get the new... come on, where are you, God? So sometimes we can make the mistake that thinking, oh God, the primary way, we've got this. That's firstly the primary way that God speaks to us. Look at this scripture here, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, should be people of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Interesting fact, the first 1,500 years of the church's existence, the vast majority of Christians listened to the Word of God. I'm not saying we have to go back to that, but there's something about hearing the Word of God as well, isn't there? Hearing the Word of God, not just, it was set out, and so we hear from God. God's primary way of speaking is, if you want to hear from God, pick up this. And then say, Lord, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's role is to illuminate this. The Holy Spirit's role is to bring it alive, and when you're reading it, he'll speak to you through that. And so when you pray, and when you're about to read it, say, God, Holy Spirit, illuminate the Word of God for me. Open it up for me. Don't, Holy Spirit, pray that I won't get distracted. Holy Spirit, help me to concentrate. Help me to understand. What are you going to bring to my life in the scriptures today? What are you going to show me today? That's why the Bible is so, it's the same story, isn't it? But every day we pick it up, it can mean something completely different for us in that moment, because the Holy Spirit is working through it. Listen to this prayer by Augustine, one of the church fathers, in regards to when he opens the Word of God. Merciful God, anoint me with your Holy Spirit. As I read your Word, let me hear your voice speaking to me from within. Give me the wisdom to understand your message to me. Let your Word be the joy of my heart and the light to my feet. Give me strength to build my life on your Word. Let it be done to me according to your Word. May I rejoice in the blessedness of hearing your Word and keeping it. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That's sometimes longer than I spend reading the Word of God. His prayer, just to get ready into reading it. Why? Because he knows and believes that this is, God speaks to us through that. So the first is this. I remember, it's going back a long time, about to be appointed or wanted to be, they brought my name to be appointed senior pastor, and I was, I don't know how old, I was 33, and people were saying I was too young. Which is fine, that was their opinion. They were saying he's too young to lead a church this size, he's too young, and I started thinking, yeah, I am young. But then God gave me that beautiful passage, do not let anyone look down on you because of your age. And then it goes on, it says, you know what, if they do, you just be faithful, preach the Word, be an example in word, be an example in deed, be an example in the way you speak, share the gospel. Literally, that was after that members meeting where they were saying I was too young. I'd never been accused of being too young, by the way, because I went through puberty at the age of 5 and was shaving at 7. And so no one ever thought I was too young, except this, I was too young. And that's all right. God spoke to me for his Word. Here, Anthony, rest on this. Rest on this. So the first one is the Word of God. The second is speaking through the Holy Spirit. Speaking through the Holy Spirit to our heart and mind, that the Holy Spirit lives in us and he will speak to our hearts, our inner being, and our minds. The Holy Spirit is not separate from your mind or distinct. It'll speak to you. Dreams, thoughts, images can be like we had here with Ray. What a beautiful image. That was the Holy Spirit speaking to him. Now, there's a discerning process, which we'll get to in a minute, and I'll talk to Ray after the service. No, that was great. That the Spirit is in us, and that when we have contemplative listening, active listening, thoughtful, reflective listening, listening to God speak as we're doing all this stuff, God's Spirit speaks into our consciousness, helping us make the right decision when we're tempted, all that kind of stuff, the same Spirit. I don't know about you, but I know sometimes I'm about to do something I know, and the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. It may be gossip. I'm having a conversation, and I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to say this about this person, and that person may laugh, but I know it's gossip. And the Holy Spirit comes up and, don't do it. And I've got a choice there. I can do it or not do it. But that's the Spirit in me. I don't know how many times, hundreds, and if you've ever preached, you may have had this, where you've preached a sermon and you'll have 10 people come up to you and they'll say, have you been watching me? Have you been reading my mail? How did you know? How did you know? And I'm like, I didn't. I don't. It's because it's not me, and even the words, I may have had a completely different intention of what I was trying to get across, but God is using that. The Holy Spirit is using that in that individual's life. That's what it is. The Holy Spirit does that. And so the Holy Spirit, listening to that. Now, here's a caveat. There's a discerning process. You know, if you step on a Mars bar, it doesn't mean God wants you to go to Mars. There's a discerning process. A maturing process. We weigh up with the Word of God, and you'll see, I actually would prefer that we use all aspects when it comes to listening to God. Because when we hear, there's three things. One, it could be the Holy Spirit. It could be our own fleshy desires, you know, saying do this, do this, do this, our own ambitious desires. Or it could actually be the enemy, the things of this world, or the enemy. So we have to discern, what is it? Okay, so the more time we spend with God, the more time we spend in His Word, we grow in that. But let me just say this, because some people, the Bible is the primary way. I understand that, and I'm a big advocate for that. But when we look through the Word of God, now they didn't have the written, had the old parts of the Old Testament, but not the New Testament. But listen to the way God speaks to people. Angels, dreams, visions, thoughts. So even like the dreams, you got Joseph and Solomon, Peter, you know, when he's up there sleeping and he sees the sheet, visions, thoughts, Amos, you know, even through him thinking he would hear God, natural manifestations. Romans 1:8 talks about how will they know if no one tells them? Well, God says they'll see it through things. They'll know it through different things. The burning bush, anyone seen one of those? Well, yeah. Oh, no, don't do that up here. Sorry. But that's a natural, or sorry, a supernatural phenomenon. That happens in places. That's how God spoke. The whisper. We read through the Word of God, there was a whisper of God. Prophets, and then there's the audible voice of God. So when we look through the Scriptures, we see that God uses that to communicate to His people. Third one is this, speaking through the prophetic. So word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy. So kind of what Ray did today was, I suppose, a word of knowledge or word of wisdom. He brought a picture for us. Now again, I've always, let me read this passage first. 1 Corinthians 5 says this, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. There's the key, examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. So we, being a pastor, you would have lots of people come up and say, I have a word, and this is what it is. And they'll try to tell me what it's about. And I don't mind people bringing me a word, but my stance is I will discern what it's about. That's my role, the Holy Spirit in me, and then I need to use those tools that we're speaking, godly counsel. You got a word, you bring it, and I'll discern what it means and what it's for. So don't be afraid of those things. if people come to you. Generally, I would say it needs to be encouraging as well. There are times where we even read through the scripture where God rebukes people through others, and maybe that happens. But generally, I would say it needs to be encouraging. But God does use that. He may even lay things on your mind. That's what the dialogue box in this moment, as we discern the voice of God for Parkerville, if God gives you a picture, an image like this, the Mundaring Weir splitting open and flooding the city of Perth, and maybe that's what it is as well, that with the gospel. That's okay. Put it in there. As a leadership, they will discern it. They've been given the authority to lead this church. They discern that with the people as well. Is that all right? I'm not scaring anyone, am I? No? Okay. The next one is quickly speaking through the counsel of others. So godly counsel, people who are godly men and women. You know who they are. Hopefully you have them in your life. They will come and say something. When they speak, you listen. They speak into your life, make sure you listen, because God is using them to shape and speak to you through them. The next one is speaking through his peace. The peace of God. Listen, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So let me say, your feelings can be influenced by the Spirit. Your likes can be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Your desires can be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Your negative feelings, all those things provide clues to what God is saying to you. Now, your feelings can also be influenced by your spirit, your fleshy desires, sorry. Your desires and passions can be influenced by your flesh. So the Holy Spirit can, but also you. So again, you need to discern that. But I've had times where I've been an overwhelming sense of peace. I know that's not coming from me, because I'm an anxious person. So when I get this overwhelming sense of peace, I know that God is in it. If you experience, okay, God, that's what, there's an overwhelming sense of peace. And the last one here, speaking through circumstances and timing. So allow God to speak to you through what circumstances and open doors, closed doors, alignment of circumstances can point to, especially if it's something to do with direction. Where is God calling me to go and that kind of thing. And careful there as well. We tend to see what we want to see as well. So we can see into circumstances what we want. So again, I hope you're hearing, there's lots of little caveats, but I also want us to experience and experiment with that. Take some risks, you know, and maybe this is God, and act on it. Allow God. I don't think God is going to trip you up. If you come with a genuine and open heart, he wants to speak. He's not hiding behind the tree. Hey, fooled you. God doesn't do that. So allow, God, I want to hear from you. Be open to all of this, but also be discerning. Let me end with this. I think I already told you this about, in regards to discerning, this is more the will of God, but even listening. My picture I like is this picture of an artist's paint palette, you know, the paint palette in lots of different colours. So all these things that we've talked about, the Word, the Holy Spirit in us, the godly wisdom from others and prophetic, they're all different colours. And when it comes to listening to God, we get to use the full palette and paint a picture. Does that make sense? Of maybe, especially if you're praying into a situation for guidance and direction, that's a great tool. Just think, what picture am I drawing here using all these different aspects? I read a passage today. Then someone comes and speaks a word of knowledge over me, or the situation, a circumstance. Be open to that. Write it down and see what God starts to do and align and open up. So when we have an understanding, a broader understanding that we speak to God and we listen to God. We speak to God and we listen to God. Is that helpful? That's all I got anyway. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you that you're a God that actually does speak to us through your word. Thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, may we, sometimes we're so fortunate here that most of us have probably 7 or 8 different Bibles in different translations that we kind of almost, not abuse it, but we we take it for granted, is what I'm probably saying, that we don't go to it enough, Father. May we open your word and read it, and may your spirit illuminate what you want to say to us through it, Father. But Father, may we grow in our understanding of prayer, that you would speak to us through all of those things that we've talked about. I don't know everyone's story here today, Lord, but I do know that you love them and that you do want to actively be with them, commune with them, Father, individually and also collectively as a church. May we be people who hear from God and listen to God and walk in that in maturity. And may we also be a church that does that. May we be a church that listens to you and then walks in that. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.